Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there, welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. They will give you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/The Square Ball. Dan Moylan, Michael Normanton, and Daniel Chapman. Moscow White sat over there. What's that in front of you, Moscow White, that you've brought along with you that was tucked inside your coat pocket?
The future.
It is the future in a very literal sense, yes. The word literally is used too much, but that is literally the future.
It is. Well, that's just a piece of paper, but it's, and this is only for people watching the video.
I was going to say, the audio version, you may need to be a bit more descriptive.
Fun with sounds. It's our 2023 calendar. I can exclusively reveal there will be 12 months next year, and each one of them will be illustrated by a drawing of
someone who is currently a Leeds United player.
Currently a Leeds United player. We have no guarantees beyond that.
In the 22 calendar, you get to flip over to Rafinha soon, don't you?
Yes, all sales are final. all sales are also for charity, which is an important thing. All the money from this goes to the Leeds Cancer Centre. But you also, while they get the benefit of your charitable donations, you get the benefit of knowing what day it is. Not room to write what you're doing on those days. I know that was a request that we ignored, sorry. But the you do get to look at, there's a great rendition of Robin Koch in what should be, Rob Palmer has drawn him in what should be Leeds United's kit. It won't focus on the camera, but it's a it's an all-white, if you imagine the Umbro 1984 shirt, all-white with a blue with yellow trim, V-neck collar, an Adidas logo and a smiley badge, and Robin Koch wearing it. It literally doesn't get any better than that
literally
in life. And there's also a drawing of hit of Robin Koch wearing a t-shirt with his dad on it. And that's
his dad with a fine head of hair and mustache.
Yeah, his dad is an exceptional person, not only for bringing Robin in the world.
It's all fine and well telling me about that, but I want one. Where can I get one? I mean, I know I could just walk into the office and grab one, but I mean, I'm watching this.
The squareball.net. And then there should be, you know, we're trying to push it as far as possible. Just look for a picture of a calendar and click on it.
Yeah.
It's a tenner. All that goes to charity, all the profits from it anyway, because obviously we have to pay to make the things get made.
And you should have paid for them out of your own pocket, Moscow, if you cared.
And they're great. There's some lovely cartoons of Luke Ayling that Josh Parkin has done. His man bun has never looked finer.
Who's in December? Who are we selling this year?
Is it Sinistera?
No. Let's not be silly.
I should keep that as a surprise.
Yeah, you get a little cheeky Christmas surprise next year. And like, well, is he still here? Has he gone? it's all part of the fun and the frolics. And but whatever happens when you get to that point, you can look back on a successful year of supporting the Leeds Cancer Centre. And what's the other thing? It's the Leeds Breast Cancer Awareness Group.
Yep.
They are all getting money from this. And so it doesn't matter if the players are bought or sold or still with us. Does it?
I mean, it doesn't even matter if we get the days right, quite frankly, which we have.
There's more important things. So squareball.net, there should be links all over the video and in the description of the podcast and on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. And just on our website, which is always a good place to look at things in general. And
I think this sell has gone on for quite long enough.
Well, for God's sake, it's charity. We could do an hour on just this.
Or you can buy some of the stuff that's not for charity.
Do you want to talk about this or talk about the Qatar World Cup?
Well, we are here
to talk about the calendar,
to talk about football.
This is the
World Cup diary version of the podcast. We'll be continuing throughout the tournament. If you want an alternative World Cup, by the way, have a look for members over on the Extra Ball feed. World Buttercup, which it's called Buttercup because it's just a fun play on words for our silly tournament we did before.
Live watch along Saudi Arabia have just scored.
Oh, actually, yes, it is. We are doing a live watch along. This is the closest you'll ever get to it, come to think of it.
We've got it on in the background, what it's best described as.
To capture that authentic World Cup watch along vibe, we need to say things like Rodrigo de Paul, Argentina.
So you know when you...
Rodrigo de Paul!
You go around somebody's house and they won't turn the telly off.
Yeah.
and you just sit there and you know you're trying to have a conversation with them and they're just not
just
paying you any
like
attention.
This,
yeah, countdown in the background, you know that they're trying to get the conundrum.
They took it well as well, to be fair, did the lad there.
Yeah, good finish. I mean, Argentina.
It's a good job we've got it on for this scintillating insight, isn't it? Otherwise, nobody watching this tomorrow would ever know that the lad took it well.
It's exciting though because they
don't even know. I mean, we've not said what the score is or what stage of the game it is. So the people listening or watching this don't even know which goal we're talking about. I don't think we've even said which match, and maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just leave it all out. And if you can tell us which goal the lad took well and get it right.
I might have mentioned the team, I think.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Well, just
all destroyed.
Spoiler alert. It's 49 minutes into Argentina against Saudi Arabia, and it's just gone 1-1, which is fun, isn't it?
I'm having a great time.
I was just saying, yeah, the Alternative World Cup, where we're pitting basically Leeds United players, past and present, head to head, following the exact same format as the actual real World Cup, the FIFA thing, to crown a winner for no obvious reason other than we want to, and it's something else to watch and listen to.
Something to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Some nice little short episodes over on there, 10, 12, 15 minutes a day. Every day that there's a game on, you're going to get an episode. Some exciting questions in there as well, such as...
Who would start a best campfire?
Yeah, who would you trust to administer a back, sack and crack?
Yeah, who could land a plane?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, all good fun, all good fun. World Cup then.
You know when you say it's on every day, you know how you'd be able to remind yourself of that? You could look on your calendar and you'll see, oh, it's a day today, so there might be stuff happening.
Not that calendar though, because that's for next year.
Fine. Well, I mean, we've still got some of the 2020... If you do want the 2022 calendar, then... Yeah. Yeah,
short-lived.
Let us know. That money will go to charity as well and free up some room.
Anyway, the World Cup, the FIFA thing, it's all underway. We are Tuesday morning as we are recording this. Enjoying it so far?
I think yesterday was an improvement, certainly. I think the opening game and all the stuff that surrounded it prior to that, I did sort of think, why are we fucking bothering with this? Because that was proper Sunday League stuff, that first match, wasn't it? It was Qatar, Ecuador. It was as bad a game as I think I've ever seen at a World Cup. It was like walking football, and it felt like Ecuador were trying their best not to embarrass them in the second half. They were like, well, we'll just play at this pace.
And the fact you were talking in the run-up to this about buyer's remorse, Michael, and it felt like there was a certain amount of that. And I think it was Barney Roney, I'm going to say, that was in The Guardian, his report on the whole thing, said that it almost feels like, or felt like, with the start of the tournament, it was the end of something. It was almost like the end of all the sort of 12 years of recrimination and finger pointing and allegations of corruption and all that sort of stuff. And it was all brought to bear in the stadium that night when it was empty in the second half. It just all felt like, well, this is stupid. The whole thing's just stupid. Why is it here?
I think what it's shown as we sit here watching Saudi Arabia, better ways of sports washing. The last thing you actually want to do is have an event in your own country because you will encounter all of the problems of that country.
Yeah.
Just buy Newcastle some players and everyone loves you.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the mad thing with Qatar, because they've already done the easy part and the sensible part from that point of view with Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got Neymar, Messi and Mbappe showing off the best that, you know, Qatar has to offer. Look how brilliant we are at sport. And then you deliberately spend £200 billion on bringing a World Cup to your country.
We've all done it. Hey, the Black Friday sales are on at the minute, Moscow. It's easily done.
And putting on display the other big thing to celebrate sport, which is that, you know, they founded the Aspire Academy in 2006, I think it opened. And
our friends, the Aspire Academy.
Mm-hmm, put a billion to build it, and then whatever they've spent on importing young people to people it ever since. And that was meant to be the celebration of, like, look how great we are at doing sport. And they did win the Asian Cup with a team mostly composed of players from the Aspire Academy. But I think the team on... Did they launch this fiasco on Saturday, it was, wasn't it?
Sunday, the opening ceremony, yeah.
And
live watch along, Moscow. We interrupt your monologue to bring you a goal by a team.
It's good. Anyway, I'll shut up about the ethics of the World Cup and just let you watch it.
This is the problem. It's quite fun watching Argentina getting beaten by Saudi Arabia.
Do you know what my thing about it is? Like, there's been a lot of annoyance about the people taking, like, the rainbow hats off the Welsh fans, for example, and the beer ban. And it was always inevitably going to get to this point, wasn't it? And I think it's less about being respectful of other people's cultures, because I'm kind of mindful that I don't think we've got the right to be the gatekeepers for football, like, you know, like in England and in the West. I do accept that it's a game that can go around the world. It's more to do with like the bidding process and all that, isn't it? Mm. Really, the annoyance has kind of transferred itself into these cultural issues.
And if they'd have said, it just wasn't part of the bid, was it? Actually, we're going to be quite intolerant. I'm sure nothing at the start of in their bid application said, we're not going to have beer and we're going to ban, and we're not going to let anyone in wearing anything even that we consider even vaguely controversial. Mm. They'll have said, oh no, it's going to be dead good. Everyone's going to be welcome. It's going to be really fun.
Nothing about the bid said it was going to be held in winter.
No.
Nothing about the bid said that we're going to ban beer sales. Nothing about the bid really had any importance, other than I think the thing you need to bear in mind is that very few of the people who were on the voting committee are allowed to vote for World Cups in the future. The Russia World Cup and the Qatar World Cup were voted for at the same time by the same people, all of whom have since been kicked out of any prospect of voting for any future
World
Cups. Well, that is a contributing factor to them not voting anymore. But with the rest of them, that's
some elections, dead people do vote, in fairness.
So ever since then, instead of presenting it perhaps as, you know, I mean, well, it took to 3 days before it for Sepp Blatter to say this has maybe been a mistake or this has been a mistake. But it's not been that argument. Instead, you've had basically people like Gianni Infantino out in front of it trying to pretend all along that this is the best thing that could possibly be happening, when nobody feels that way about it, apart from the people who managed to arrange for it to happen back in 2010 and then spent the £200 billion and the however many workers' lives to get us to this point where you know it's happening, isn't it? So
it is happening as we speak, literally as we speak, as the kids would say.
I think the thing I was talking about with Aspire Academy is so the eventual output of that on the biggest world stage, they even moved the opening match. They didn't say that was going to be moved to the Saturday it was all supposed to kick off, or the Sunday it was all supposed to kick off at the same time. But they were like, no, we want Qatar's first match to be shown separately, so that everybody can see how great the last 20 years of Aspire Academy has made us an absolutely fantastic sporting nation. And it's made them an English non-league level sporting nation. And that backfiring so spectacularly was sort of beautiful. But yeah, it's worth remembering that we spent a long time hearing from Andrea Ratrizzani and Angus Kinnear and our board member, Ivan Bravo, who is he's the director general of Aspire Academy, and was promoted to being just director of sport for the entire of Qatar, was on our board during that time saying, you know, Aspire Academy's best place, the link up with Leeds is going to be fantastic. We'll have access to these brilliant facilities, knowledge transfer, all this kind of stuff. Quietly dropped when he left us in 2019, although we are still involved in the legacy projects that we celebrated Qatar Sport Day in Sheffield in 2020 for reasons that, you know, beyond anybody's will.
Did we?
I remember it well. It was a great day. Such a good day.
So all that kind of stuff just leads up to, yeah, and then the first match was just, I mean, the VAR, that it started with a absolutely painful VAR decision just kind of sums the whole thing up, that it's not just about the World Cup being awarded for the reasons it was awarded and now being played for the reasons it's being played, but it's like every current of the worst aspects of football all converging on this one dreadful, boring game of football that even started with the worst offside VAR
in the world ever.
Probably. I mean, it's up there.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a goal disallowed in this game for someone's, a Pat Bamford shoulder being ahead of a foot 30 yards from goal type arrangement, which I'm not on board with. I know they've done the automated thing, which technically gives you a decision, but it's still shit.
The one in Qatar, Ecuador, was we've said before, probably about Pat Bamford having his goal ruled out for pointing, was the whole point of the offside law is to stop people from running to the goal and goal hanging and getting an advantage by cheating. Whereas this was a guy at the back post who was rendered offside because the goalkeeper essentially punched his own defender away from the goal. And that meant that for about a millisecond, his lower leg was technically offside. And so anything that happened after that, he was moving away from goal to get the ball. And his leg being offside for that half second did not really contribute to him being able to score the goal whatsoever. But no, we hang around for 5 minutes and we wait for it to be chalked off. and Alexa has something to say about this. It's good having a voice-activated device on the desk in a podcast studio. we can never talk about Alex Ferguson. We can't talk about Alex Scott. Can't talk about... Are there any Leeds players called Alex? Crew Alexandra? Just... Yeah. Flummoxed, aren't you? Jeff Bezos is probably Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is doing his nut now. He can't understand why he's getting all these requests.
She's still saying, Alexa, stop.
So...
You've just made everybody who's listening to this on a smart device now turn it off.
Oh, God, yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, dear me, that was great.
So it's a good tournament so far. I like how the games are really, really long. I think that's helping as well.
That is quite funny, actually.
25 minutes of stoppage time for the England match. That's great. It's as if they've realised that because before and after the games, like the BBC preparation where they did an hour on the World Cup issues, like shit, just make the games really long so they don't have time for half-time or analysis afterwards and Roy Keane won't get to say anything.
I quite like the fact that properly, especially as we've kind of suffered at its hands this year, making the injury time correct.
It's good. It's
like, I think I want to see a board go up with 25 minutes on it at some point at Elland Road.
And they've got the concussion protocol spot on as well, haven't they? Letting a man who doesn't know his own name stay on the pitch, clearly. He's like, what was that about?
Well, I know.
Someone's watching it. Everyone watched it going, take him off. Yeah. Take him off. I mean, take him off now.
Even the commentary team was saying it. Look, this is just not right. It was Jermaine Genus being very earnest, wasn't it? Saying, you can't, you know, for his own safety, take him off. And I was like, God, my God, I'm agreeing with Jermaine Genus. Oh, dear, mate.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But that was, I mean, it was nice from an England point of view. Like we were saying in the run-up to this when we did the preview, you, me and Rob, Michael, that we weren't really enthused about the whole thing. And I think partly because there's obviously the circumstances of the World Cup, but because we'd seen such a conservative England, I think there's a feeling like going out of the World Cup, losing the Euros as they did with that kind of dropping deeper and deeper thing against Italy when they could have gone out and potentially won that, to then follow it up with such a turgid run in the Nations League. So to see them turn it on, admittedly, you know, you've got to frame it around the context that it was, I don't want to say only Iran, but it's a team considerably lower than them in the rankings, albeit 20th. Top 20 still, yeah.
That just shows how shit the rankings
are. And the finishing on the first goal was delightful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was a really, really good start. And I think it's something I think the England team has probably needed, which was also play a formation that's a bit more exciting to watch. You don't need to play three at the back with another two holding players in front with a fullback. So you've essentially got seven defensive players. Just send them out there.
Are you saying Calvin Phillips was holding us back?
Yes.
Oh my God. Alexa, shut up. Ridiculous thing.
Press the mute button on it.
Yes, it was. It was nice to see England attack because I actually sat there and watched that with a certain amount of relaxation versus the stress, and not stress with England. It's just more annoyance, really. Sometimes
I must. Yeah, my expectations were that we'd win, but in a kind of boring shit way, like a 1-0, 2-0, nah, sort of a performance. But actually, it was quite good fun.
Did you hear
we defended in a comical way as well, which was just added to the fun of it.
Yeah, did you hear the shouts from the sideline of keep the ball moving, keep the ball moving? And I think Southgate touched on it in the post-match when he was saying when we slow the play down, we're nowhere near as effective. So it seems like the penny might have dropped and that they've got to play at quite a high tempo in order to get the best out of this side. So it fills me with a bit of optimism that we might have something halfway decent to watch anyway as England fans.
Yeah, it was fairly fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, watching it, I thought, I quite like this a lot of this England team, actually.
They all seem like relatively decent people, don't they?
Yeah, even Grealish. He's an absolute idiot, but I think he's probably not a bad bloke, really.
His heart's in the right place.
I mean, absolutely terrifyingly stupid, but a really quite a talented footballer and, an all right bloke. So,
did you see, I don't know, I'm not taking the link from terrifyingly stupid or anything, but Calvin Phillips in the build-up, did you see his interview about sorting his shoulder injury out and getting to the World Cup?
No.
It's great because there were two things with Calvin in the build-up to this. Well, I guess three things if you think about him holding us back from the Jude Bellingham future. But he did those photos for Adidas posing in a sitting in a bath that were quite funny. Mm. And then Liam Cooper left a comment on his Instagram going, "This you now," with a couple of eyes for an emoji, which was
I
funny.
Like that. Yeah.
But then he hadn't changed.
That's very big brotherly, isn't it?
He hasn't changed at all because he was talking about how he's worked really hard to get back from this shoulder injury and taken Pep Guardiola's advice. He was like, you need to do the operation now and you will get back in time for the World Cup. So he just had to trust him. And so he's done all that. And then it sounds like the week before he was doing weights in the gym at Manchester City and was taking a plate off the rack and dropped it on his foot. And he says, I think it was either a 2 kilogram or a 5 kilogram. He said, if it had been much heavier, broken foot, no World Cup.
Bloody
and
hell.
He was just, he said it's still hurting that he was that game that he played. It was for Manchester City where he came on as a sub. He was still going on there with a bruised foot because he dropped a gym plate on it like an absolute, he hadn't changed at all. And it made me, I know there's still a lot of kind of, there's some schadenfreude for Calvin Phillips. He's gone to Manchester City and he hadn't worked out at all. But you read things like that about him, you just think,
was it Dave Besson who broke his foot dropping mayonnaise on it?
There was somebody who dropped a bottle of mayonnaise.
It was Dave Besson, yeah. He tried to, instead of using his hands to catch it, he tried to use his foot to kick it when it dropped out of a high kitchen cupboard. And there was, I think Rio Ferdinand, while he was at Leeds maybe, put his foot through a glass coffee table.
Yes, I do remember that.
You see, everyone always goes, you can't risk players in friendlies and don't play them in the cup in case something happens, but just...
Don't leave them alone.
Yeah, yeah.
What does this say? Like 90% of accidents happen in the home.
Mm.
Yeah. That's where all 90% of injuries happen. But yeah, that was all right, wasn't it? I enjoyed watching England without stress being attached. So much of football has felt stressful in recent years that it was nice just to think, you know what? It's all right. It's all right, this.
And Bellingham is dead good, isn't he?
He really is a good footballer, yeah, yeah.
He's played like 120 games or something and he's still a child.
He's 19.
It's really strange.
Which is absolutely wild, and he's got a very wise head on him, hasn't he? A very wise footballing head.
I think we mentioned it before, but he played in that ridiculous 5-4 game.
5-4, yeah.
And in that, just saying, who the fuck's this lad? He's like a child, because I think they said on the commentary he was 16. It was like,
that can't be right.
He can't be 16. He looks incredible. Looks far too good.
Retiring his number at Birmingham doesn't look so daft anymore, does it?
That's true.
Absolute fair play.
No, it is. It is ridiculous.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
What did you make of USA Wales as well? We saw our boy Dan James in there, and obviously Tyler. Tyler doing his thing.
Let's talk about Tyler. Tyler was great.
He looked good, didn't he? He was man of the match, and I think a lot of the American coverage gave him man of the match.
Yeah, he was brilliant doing Tyler Adams things. Didn't get booked in the end, did he?
No.
He pushed it.
I really, really felt it was going to be booked, but he's got a really nice sideline in fouling people and shouting at them, like speaking to him as well, which is good. I quite like the little aspect of him.
He's always on the scene with the referee as well. I think being captain as well, which again for youngsters, I guess all the USA players are young, but he's only 23 captaining his country. It's pretty good going, but I think he uses it as license to be like, it's okay, ref, I'm captain, therefore I can call you a douchebag to your face.
Yeah, I was not obviously watched much of the US team, but I'm kind of hearing bits of coverage of them from listening to stuff about Leeds players, and they've all been moaning like fuck about Greg, who I didn't realise was double G either.
We're
like,
calling him Greg, are we?
He's Greg Gugger. He's like Greg Wallace. Bearhalter is the name of their manager, isn't he? But they all slag him off, and I can kind of see why after that second half.
I was going to say things I've heard from people I've spoken to, the saying he makes weird substitutions, games just get away, they're in charge of games and they just get away from him.
Yeah, so I can see their annoyance, because at halftime I was thinking, bloody hell, Wales are absolutely awful here.
Yeah.
And then they just brought Kiefer Moore on and looked decent all of a sudden. I think the attempting to attack in the second half did Wales some favours.
Yes.
Rather than having Dan James.
What were they trying to do? I mean, again,
just give it to Dan James and let him run a bit, but he just does that thing where he checks back and passes it.
Because nobody can keep up with him.
Yeah.
It's good that he's playing for Wales, though, because the manager, Rob Page, and also Gareth Bale, so the captain and goal scorer, were very particular and careful in their post-match interviews to say, Dan James did nothing wrong. He played very well in the first half. It's a tactical change to get Kiefer Moore on. And I like that. Because Wales as well, you've got to remember, they've not dragged along, but they brought along a couple of players who basically a bit too old to be part of an active World Cup squad, but because they got them there and because they mean something, because they like them, have taken them.
Who are you referring to?
Johnny Williams is one of them, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like I don't even know where he is now. He's like in League One or something, I think. Isn't he?
I can't remember. And they did, it was like...
Are they there for hype men purposes, really?
Well, essentially, yeah.
But also because they deserved it, because they did all the qualifying and got Wales to this point. And it's the same with Dan James, where they're like, no, he's been part of this squad for years as we're trying to qualify for this World Cup. He's here. He played 45 minutes and we're not going to slag him off. And we're going to get that out there and say that just because he went off at halftime doesn't mean he's let anybody down. And it's nice to hear that kind of supportive statements being made by his teammates straight away to shut wankers like us up before we start on him. And the manager taking responsibility as well. He was saying that, yeah, he thought that Dan James running in behind would be the right thing against the USA, and then watched it for a half and decided, no, I need the big lad on. And it's why, I guess, you have a squad at a World Cup so you can choose between the big lad and the little one. And
especially with all that number of subs as well,
yeah,
contributes to it, that you can afford to make those halftime changes and you're not burning loads of your options in the second half.
Yeah, and it could be that, you know, against England, do you want to have, Harry Maguire might have a concussion check, but sticking Kiefer Moore up against Harry Maguire or John Stones or somebody, is that going to be the right one? Or can we finally use Dan James's pace? So, you know.
I think that Maguire was ill, wasn't he? He said subsequently.
Because he doesn't want a concussion break.
Yeah. Well, whatever it might be. Who are we to speculate, Moscow? But what it does mean is it like that draw between USA and Wales, which I think was probably a fair result, do you think, on balance?
Yeah, by the end of it.
Classic game of two halves. It sets it up for the Thanksgiving Friday game, this coming Friday, England-USA. They need to get something from it, which means they can't just sit back, because I think they need to draw, don't they, effectively against us?
Do you know what? I don't even know.
You need to draw, you can sit back.
Yeah, I suppose.
Play for 0-0.
And they were very good at being injured in the second half with USA as well. There was a lot of Wolves, Everton stuff going on, where someone would just lay down in the middle of the pitch and wait for the referee to stop it. I was getting a bit frustrated by that, actually, even as a pretty much a neutral in this game. I was like, oh, come on, just fucking play on. It's because the ref kept stopping it. I was like, let him lay there for a bit, see if they get up.
Leave him be. Little Brendan came on as well in the second half.
Did all right. Did some wriggling and jiggling about, didn't he, in that way he does. Got kicked a few times, but he was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine. But no, Adams looks amazing. Looks exactly like he does for us, in fairness, just doing that thing of
doing Adams thing,
hassling people and winning the ball. And
he seems to be playing a bit further up as well. Did you notice that he was playing a bit higher up the park?
I don't know if he's just pressing very high because of the way Wales, the other animals. yeah, I don't know if it was that because of the way they were playing, but yeah, he was a bit further up.
He was generally everywhere. I think that's the thing with Tyre Adams. If you're looking at part of the picture, the chance at the end when it looked like Gareth Bale was going to score from halfway. I can't remember the name of the player who kicked him, but he'd said...
Good yellow, that one.
He'd said in the build-up to the World Cup, he said that if we're going to stop Gareth Bale, we're probably just going to have to kick him. And he managed to get one in there, so that was quite successful. And then on the replays of that, as he's kicking him, Tyler Adams is appearing. And it just sums him up, really, that here is some danger wherever it is on the pitch. He may not have been the first there, but he made sure he was the second.
Yes, indeed. And John Hartson doing the co-commentary on ITV in the UK. That was fun, wasn't it?
A lot of people were slagging him off. I don't mind completely biased commentary, I have to say. Yeah. I think fair enough.
It's better than the old Martin Keown. Couldn't give it, you know.
Just describing what exactly. Oh, he's kicked the ball and it's gone out.
Yeah, so the Gareth Bale's penalty, you get some excitement to listen to from John Hartson, and genuine as well, because you'll know all the it's a close-knit community, the Wales following, isn't it? And probably a lot of it in the wake of Gary Speed's death as well. So he's kind of like, I think it was Aaron Ramsey was talking about how that still drives them forward, and that they remember that this journey began with Gary Speed sort of sorting everything out, basically saying, we are not going to be a two-bit bunch of also-rans anymore. So all that kind of builds up to it. And so when you get to this point in the journey, it's nice to hear somebody enthusiastic about it instead of, the classic Martin Keown thing. Well, you know, he's taken a penalty there, and he's aimed for the top corner, and, you know, the quality on the shot is, there's a hand to it that you can see there, and but the power of it. And, yeah, I know all that, Martin, but what I don't know is what it feels like to be a proud Welsh person involved in everything that's been going on and how it feels in that moment. But that's what I got from John Hartson, was a little bit of a hint of the excitement and the joy that a nation was feeling, which is what a World Cup should be about, isn't it?
Go on, Rob, stick it long! Like that. I really enjoyed that. That was good. Enjoyably kind of partisan.
But, I mean, as Leeds fans, we have our own biased Welshman who we love, don't we, on the commentary. So
yeah, Brent and Tony are great, aren't they?
Keep with it. I mean, compared to Dion Dublin on the opening game, who I was listening to it thinking, God, this is painful. Then I saw a tweet saying, I don't want to go to Dion Dublin, but if he was sat behind me at Palace, I'd assume it was his first game. Which was quite good.
Fantastic.
And he also, when he was like, oh, they're really going for it, aren't they? Those Qatar fans, it's like they're very obviously shipped in people who are, they're part of a show. They are not actual.
Yeah, they've given them all a t-shirt.
They've given them all a matching t-shirt and instructed them to sing, like, don't big it up. Yeah. And also, like, look around the rest of this, look around the bit of the stadium where people aren't being paid to be. It looks fucking dreadful. It's half empty and no one is interested.
Did you enjoy the deadline day fun in the Netherlands-Senegal game as well? We had Cody Gakpo scoring for the Netherlands as they beat Senegal, obviously, but Bamba Dien coming off the bench for Senegal. What could have been? Here's what you could have won.
I turned it up by that point. I was making the kids tea.
What did you make them? Freezer tapas?
No, it was pulled pork, actually.
Oh!
Yeah, fancy. You,
absolute fucking monster.
Slow cooked. Nice.
What with it? What do you have? Mash?
Rice.
Oh.
Yeah, and some veg. Yeah, nice.
Good. Excellent. And Rasmus Christensen plays later today against Tunisia, but we'll catch up with that when we speak later in the week, because we'll be back later in the week to do a bit more of this. And yeah, and as it stands at the minute, 15 minutes to go in the Saudi-Argentina game, and Saudi currently winning against Rodrigo de Paul.
Oh, he's been rubbish as well.
He has as well. I don't want him anymore. He's too old.
They're all shit. Messi's shit too.
Well, waiting for the equaliser now and then the late winner. But so that brings us to the conclusion of the World Cup chat, I think, unless we have anything else to add. Just a couple of Leeds bits to talk about in terms of Bielsa not going to Bournemouth, it looks like. Footy Insider, if they are to be believed, saying that's not on, it's not happening.
It's the one time in my life I've chosen to just believe Footy Insider. Anybody could have said it, I don't care, but I'll just believe it. This is what I want to be true.
A huge amount of wishful thinking.
Steve Evans said that, wasn't he, when he said that we definitely wouldn't be selling Sam Byram, and then we sold Sam Byram, and he says, well, maybe I wanted it to be true.
Just trying to manifest things in the universe by saying it.
Yeah, which didn't ever work on Massimo Cellino, but we might have a better chance with Bielsa if enough Leeds fans kind of go full Yuri Geller and just, like,
the group think,
concentrate on anything. But suppose we can't reject the colours scarlet and black, can we? Because the square ball away shirt, which is now once again safe to buy, still available from our website, thesquareball.net, is
shocking.
Yeah, it was always the colour orange with Yuri Geller, was you concentrate on orange to make something happen. But if you concentrate on that with Bielsa, he's like, oh no, they want me to go to Bournemouth. Just the vibes, I hope we all kind of transmitted along the lines of, you, it's your own life, Marcelo, and you owe us nothing, but please, if you could just maybe do one more favour, because now it comes down to it, it would be nice if this didn't happen. I didn't really think about the prospects of him going to another club in England until then. It's being reported, and then I know deep down that the emotions come to the surface. I'm just like, no.
All we're asking is that you entirely rule out, as one of the world's best coaches, you rule out the best league in the world. That's all we're asking. It's not difficult. Yeah.
Well, you
just,
can't
just never come here again unless it says I would guess.
Well, speaking of Orange, there's talk of him going to Rangers, isn't there? So
devout Catholic
male Marcelo Bielsa going to the most Protestant football club in the world.
Do we know his opinion on the Queen? No.
No, I feel like we're straying into choppy waters that we should probably avoid in this absolutely cheap dinghy that we're in.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I feel like he can get a better job than that, can't he?
Probably, but he might find there's a lot to attract somebody to a job like that, isn't there?
It is a massive club with obviously a huge fan base and stuff. So all the in a kind of slightly grim industrial city, which is that's his general way of doing things.
It's his vibe, isn't it?
So,
it's his jam.
It's a cultural centre.
Well, so is Leeds, but it's also a bit grim and industrial.
I'm trying to mollify any Glaswegian listeners. It's a great city with great nightlife, lots of galleries, beautiful architecture that admittedly keeps catching on fire. But they keep putting it back together again and then letting it burn again.
I've only ever had a smashing time in Glasgow. I went up for the pre-season friendly against Celtic, which was, I think we wore the blue kit, didn't we? I think Hasselbank scored and then we sold him not long after. But that was good fun because I drove up from my base in Newcastle and I remember, I think I set off at 4:30 in the morning and then went cross country, got to Glasgow at 7:30 to meet all the Leeds fans. Like, my dad was staying there in a B&B with a load of blokes and walking into a room where they were all staying. Because I think what happened is they were on the ground floor of this B&B or whatever, this guest house. And a lot of them had gone up there without somewhere to stay. So they just opened the window and let a load of them in. So probably about 12 men in there, sort of prison camp vibe.
Got the smell.
And I was just going to say, imagine walking into that smell at 7:30 in the morning. But then they took me straight out and we went to the pub for breakfast and pints. And it was £1.50 for a bacon butty and a pint of Tennent's.
Like Spanish tapas. It's like Scottish tapas. They get food with it.
Yeah, because it's the pubs that are open for the workers, because the Scottish licensing laws were obviously a lot more relaxed than English ones. Hence the drink problem.
So we've called them. Just to add to the stereotype.
Problem drinkers. The other, one of the major considerations for Bielsa going to Rangers would be who does the translation for him? Because there's layers, isn't there? And Andres might be able to handle English, but whether he can handle Scots.
Although he'll have some friends there, won't he? He's got Ryan Kent finally getting to meet up with him. He's got Kemo Roofe. There's the Tavernier brother, who's a Leeds fan.
There's a lot of things to... So Scotland would be okay. Scotland's all right. I think, obviously, Argentina seems to be entirely ruled out, and Newell's have put the hex on him by naming their stadium after him. Mm. So I can't coach as an opponent in a stadium named after me, so he's turned down River Plate, if the report's there to be believed, which it's funny because he managed Velez and won against Newell's in they used to just call it the Concrete Park because it didn't have a name until they named their stadium after Marcelo Bielsa. So it's fine then, but then they were like, oh, well, we can't have this, so we'll name it after him. And then he's like, right, that I can't come here anymore. And then, yeah, it's interesting that the job he was linked to in Spain is going back to Bilbao. So maybe he's kind of, you know, it's 10 years since he was at Bilbao. Maybe the fact that Bilbao fans were coming to Leeds to meet him 10 years after he left, he's maybe realising, I can't do it. So there's not really many places left that he can safely go without upsetting somebody who once loved him. But apart from Germany, Germany is open for him, isn't it?
The stadium was, I like this, it was called the Colossus of the Park, to give its official name.
Yes. Yeah.
The Colossus of the Park.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't its official name. It was just known as
colloquially.
It was known as that because they never named it, which is great. I mean, was Elland Road ever formally named?
Peacock Ground.
Yeah, I suppose so, but nobody called it that. We say it was going down to Elland Road because that's where the stadium was. Most of our, Goodison Park, it's just in the park. Anyway, so he shouldn't go to Everton either.
That's your tour of the ground. No, absolutely.
That's true. Although getting rid of Lampard would be kind of funny.
No.
Not that, no.
No, it's good for him staying there.
No, you're right.
The joke would be on us.
Yeah.
It would, wouldn't it, really?
Before we sign off this episode, let's just say congratulations as well to Kevin Sinfield, Sir Kevin Sinfield. Not football related, but definitely Leeds related, has raised over £2 million for motor neurone disease, which is absolutely, what an effort.
His calendars like, though? Hey, what are his calendars like?
Not the time. Not the time, Oscar. And running over 300 miles over 7 days. I mean, we walked 92 in 4, and that fucking killed.
Yeah, I mean, he looks a good deal fitter than us. But
he didn't buy the end of it.
He was still moving. Yeah, and an incredible thing to do.
Whereas I was crying for the final walk down to Ellen Road. Yeah, so much.
When he goes into the detail of it, and you see the sort of the clips that he will allow to be shown of him kind of creaking into an ice bath to get ready to go again tomorrow, it's absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, like, overall, he's raised like about 4 or 5 million quid or more for MND, which is just absolutely insane. And let's not forget, you know, it was motor neuron disease that claimed the life of Don Revy in the end as well. So it's one of those things that's quite close to home. So, what an effort. What an effort. It's amazing, isn't it? Right, we'll sign it off there then. Anything to add before we head off and watch the exciting last 5 to 10? Well, actually, I was going to say there's 8 minutes left of the Argentina-Saudi Arabia game, but that actually means half an hour in real terms.
Get Bielsa in.
How much...
Bielsa could have this job.
How much stoppage time was there in the first half?
5, I think, had it done.
Okay.
There'll be at least 8, should we say, in the second half.
Bloody hell. Exciting. I mean, they're asking a lot of us. from the very outset, you know, this whole thing's quite hard work.
Stick with it. It may get better, you never know.
I might just not bother, actually.
Tune in for your latest World Cup enthusiastic diary later this week.
All the things I really want to stick to in the hope that they get better. I don't think the Qatar World Cup is particularly high up there. No. But,
we can rest assured knowing it's not worked out for them particularly well. I think that's probably the most pleasing aspect of this World Cup is that it's...
We said that in the run-up, didn't we?
Yeah. It's going so badly for them.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's seen it and gone, fucking hell, I'd love to go there on holiday. It looks class.
Great speech, Gianni. Well done. You've really knocked it out the park. Christ, we're never proud talk of about you. That, did we?
Save it for later in the week.
I mean, that's the man who's in charge of world football.
But he has to...
No, he didn't have to say any of that stuff.
It's the Iraqi information minister, that meme, isn't it? Like... in front of the microphones, pleading, everything's fine, everything's fine. It's just, it's mental.
I think there were many, many, many ways he could have said that without going into the detail of him being a ginger child and therefore understanding racism. And
it says very, very, very much that that's the route he chose.
Yes, yes. Well, to coin his phrase, his words, use his words, today I feel like Dan, today you feel like Michael, today you feel like Moscow, and probably will do tomorrow. So we'll leave it there. Thank you, Gianni. Thank you, everybody. We'll speak to you later in the week.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.